Senate Bill 28, an act to provide payment of tuition costs to education programs for students in governmental custody and to eliminate certain payments to the educational programs operated by public school districts.
Senate Bill 8. Senate Bill 28 has had its second reading, is up for final consideration. Are there any remarks? Senator Bros.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the Senate. Before presenting the bill, I'd like to make sure that all the members of the Senate will refer to the engrossed version 1-28. And the reason why it's important you do that is because in the committee, there were some phrases in there that we thought should be taken out simply because we did refer to public and non-public schools in that bill. And so they were taken out with an amendment and brought back to you now. Basically, the bill is a bill that intends to avoid duplication of payments for students. Students that are in the custody of the state. The various areas that we're talking about here could be students that are in foster homes. They could be in residential treatment facilities. They could be in juvenile detention centers. They could also be in drug or alcoholic facilities for treatment. The state has a responsibility to educate those students the same as every school district has a responsibility to educate the students in their district. Just because a student is not in their home district, the state still has that obligation toward them. Let me just explain it this way. If you do have an education program that is under the public schools, those public schools will claim those students under their average daily membership, which we know of as ADM. So therefore, those students then would be under that district and would be paid out of the state school aid formula. Let me give you an example. In Watertown, we have the home and school for females. That was just brought into Watertown late this summer. Those students now are attending Watertown High School or middle school, depending on their age. They also do have access to NOVA. And so that education program is carried out under the public schools. Therefore, those students will be counted in Watertown's ADM. DECA will make that payment. The other option then is if you have somebody in a residential treatment program and there is no school district involvement, the Department of Social Services would pay for the education of that student. But in no case would that payment be in excess of what the ADM formula is. I guess just very simply, if you read lines 7 and 8 of the engrossed bill, that tells you what we are doing. This is to avoid duplication. And there are, and if you would like for the bill to remain as it is and not make this amendment, then we can just go right ahead and make duplicate payments as it happens in some cases, because they get payment on an ADM basis, and then also they may get payments from the Department of Social Services. There is one part that I would like to call to your attention, and that is the part that deals with special education. Department of Social Services has what is called an auxiliary program system. And under that program, they are able to pay the costs to a private entity if it is not offered by the public schools. And so let's hope that we realize that we do have the responsibility to educate these students wherever they may be. And we also hope then that they can get a good education that many times can be of a great help to them. I would appreciate your support on this bill and would be willing to try to answer any of your questions.
Further remarks?
Madam President.
Senator Moore.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the body. Madam President, I have a question of Senator Bros.
State your question.
Thank you. Senator Broz, it states in here that apparently the Department of Social Services is going to pay those costs for the Department of Corrections. The Department of Corrections has been added language to this particular bill. My question to you would be, who paid those costs for the Department of Corrections prior to this time?
Senator Broz, do you choose to respond?
Thank you, Madam President. The question, as I see it, back before 1995, when this change probably was made, and I think that's the information that I received, the UJS system was more or less in charge of like our juveniles and so on that were being put into other programs. When the change was made to the Department of Corrections, and I just recall, I believe, Senator Moore, that I think you were probably even on that same committee, Judicial in the House, when we had that before us, when we moved from the UJS system to the DOC. Before that, UJS was in charge. Now Department of Corrections has those young people that also are and in need of some particular education programs. So before, I believe it was probably UJS that received this money, but also at that time, the money was taken, or the payment was taken, into DSS. That before, evidently, there was another program, and I'm not that familiar with really what it was.
Senator Moore, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam President. I guess I'm still not understanding what's going on here. When UJS was able to place these juveniles, I can understand where the money may have went to McCrossin's or Sky Ranch or Abbott House or whatever. I guess the question I'm asking, and it appears to me on this particular bill, that the Department of Social Services will now be funding the educational needs at the Department of Corrections facility in Plankinton. I want to know who funded that prior to this time. Apparently it was coming out of the DOC budget at that time, and now it could very well be coming out of the Department of Social Services budget. And I just want some clarification on that, if you might.
Senator Broz, do you choose to respond?
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Moore, I just can't answer to the information that I have simply tells me that this was transferred from over to DECA with the new state aid formula. And the state aid formula, if the young people in, let's say, at Plankinton would be under the umbrella of the Plankinton School District, they would be counted as ADM. But I believe in Plankinton that that is a separate educational institution, and so therefore, as long as it is approved as an entity by DSS, DSS would be funding that particular education program.
Senator Moore, you have the floor.
Well, you know, I guess I still have several questions unanswered here. I guess I would just ask the body to carefully consider this and maybe give some consideration to probably deferring this bill for a day or so and bring some of those answers down. I think that adamantly important that I have the answers to those questions.
Further remarks, Senator Everest.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, I think it's probably, the way I understand it, fairly simple. When we made the decision to change the custody of a child to the Department of Corrections, that child could be placed at Plankinton, and that child's care expenses are paid from the Department of Corrections budget. What we're talking about are not those children, but special children who are placed in a variety of non-public educational settings, and that's what the first part of the bill concerns, because it concerns educational programs not operated by public school districts, but the students are under the care and custody of the Department of Social Services. So I think in the past, this is a clearly a Department of Social Services responsibility. So all you're doing is adding the Department of Corrections rather than the unified judicial system. From my perspective, the UJS was taken out of the picture back in 1995, so it's almost just a cleanup bill. The second part of the bill is dealing with foster children in foster care. So, and obviously that's going to be a Department of Social Services or Department of Corrections, depending on what need that child would have. And there would be special needs for those children with disabilities.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I understand the second part of the bill, but I think the danger here is, if you'll read line 7, for students in residential treatment centers or group care centers for minors. And then you can go on and read the rest of the language in the bill, and it has added the Department of Corrections. So apparently, we're going to pay, through social services, all of the educational needs of those students at Plankinton. That is the way this bill reads at this point in time. I'm asking you if that's what you really want to do. That's the way the language states it. And I'm not certain that that is the direction we want to go. And that's why I've been trying to find out who funded the educational needs at Plankinton prior to this. And the way this bill is reading now, the way the bill reads now, Social Services picks up the checkbook and writes the check. That's the way the language is written now. Thank you.
Further remarks. Does any member wish to speak before Senator Bros speaks the second time? Senator Bros.
Thank you, Madam President. I guess as I look at the bill, I would say to myself, if we have people right now that are in, let's say, juvenile corrections, who would you, if you have a problem with juvenile corrections, I think that that is a separate fight altogether. I think this is a matter of the child needing an education, and I would much rather have the Department of Social Services be the one that is approving of these entities rather than to have the others in charge of that. I think we're better off having the DSS or DECA making the payments for these particular programs.
Further remarks?
Madam President.
Senator Flowers.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, I guess the point, I think, that Senator Moore was trying to, and the question he was trying to ask, at least that's what I think he was trying to say, is because of that sentence in line 7 and 8, that place the education of the children in the Plankinton facility in the boot camp in Custer, it now places them under the cost of the Department of Social Services, whereby prior to now, those costs were borne by the Department of Corrections. Now, I guess my next question is probably, is the Department of Corrections budget going to drop by this X amount of dollars and the Department of Social Services budget going to go up by X amount of dollars to cover this transfer of what we're doing here? If it's not going to do that, then I'm going to have a hard time supporting the bill, because I think that if the Department of Social Services is taking over the education of these children in that correctional facility, then the money that has been going to DOC should be transferred over to them, because they're going to bear the burden of that cost.
Madam President? Thank you. I, too, have a question as I've been looking through this. In Spearfish, South Dakota, for instance, there's a home called Canyon Lake Home, and it's operated by Lutheran Social Services, but there are students that are placed there from areas throughout the state. Social Services does place the youth at that facility. Then, as I read this bill, then the Department of Social Services would be paying the educational costs of those children, some in special education, some in regular school. Now, they attend school at Sturgis, part of the regular school, some in special ed programs.
Madam President, ma'am. I guess I was in conversation, Senator, with someone, and I didn't catch it all, except that I think you have a juvenile facility in that area. They have their own education program?
No.
No, but they go to the Sturgis schools?
They are bused to the Sturgis school, I think that, or public schools, maybe Spearfish, some might go to Spearfish. And then also some are in special education, and I'm wondering now where the cost, they are placed by social services into this particular facility.
Right. The Department of Social Services will pay unless the program is under a public school system, a district. In other words, it's one or the other.
Yeah.
One pays if the other doesn't.
Right. And there would be no change, then it would go on as it is, was previously, is that right?
Well, previously what we had was we would have a possibility of the duplication of the social services paying and also getting under the school aid formula, which is DECA, would be the other option there.
Senator Cleven,
okay.
You have the floor.
Thank you. I guess, and I'm not totally sure about, there are several other facilities too, I think of the Northern Hills Adjustment Training Center, I think of Workshop, a number of facilities in my part of the state, and I'm sure that that same situation exists in others. And perhaps that we do need more clarification on this particular issue. I'm not clear at this point. Perhaps the others are, and I just have failed to get all the ramifications, but I think I would like further clarification.
I'm sorry, the last part of your remark, you
would
like to?
I would like further clarification.
Thank you. Other remarks?
Madam President. Madam President.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, in concordance with Rule 6C-11, I would like to request a fiscal note for Senate Bill 28. I need one-fifth of the body to support
Thank
that
you,
motion.
Senator. Is he supported? He is supported, and the request for the fiscal note will be abided.
Madam President?
Senator Reedy.
Personal privilege?
That's granted, Senator.
Thank you, Madam President. This morning, a rather hairy friend of mine delivered three envelopes to me that he would like to ask me to deliver one to you and one to each of the leaders of the parties. I see he's here now, and I'd like to have the Senate welcome Charlie the Coyote.
And I was close. All right. Thank you, Senator. And the President says, thank you, Charlie. Second reading of Senate bills.
Madam President.
Senator Rounds.
Well, Madam President, I believe that the request has been to request a fiscal note.
Correct.
On the pending bill. And I know that Senator Everest wanted to make some remarks yet, but I do believe that we'll have to defer action on the bill until we receive that. And if we could, I'll defer to Senator Everest, and at that point, then I think we should probably move to a day certain.
All right.
On further activity on the bill.
Very good. Senator Everest.
Thank you. Before this bill goes to wherever to receive a fiscal note, LRC, I imagine, I would just like to say that this deals with auxiliary placement programs. And that payment system provides a fund source to pay tuition costs for students who are in the custody of the state. Now, that may conjure up images of Plankinton. But this process does not pay the educational costs at public facilities run by the Department of Corrections. The auxiliary payment system pays tuition costs for students requiring special education services while living in a foster home, as well as students residing in residential treatment facilities, juvenile detention centers, and drug and alcohol treatment facilities. So I think if you are sitting there wondering how this affects some particular entity, facility in your district, you could fit them into one of those categories, but not at a public facility run by the Department of Corrections. I hope that helps clear things up. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, Madam President, then I would move to defer action on this bill for a period of two legislative days. I believe that would be to the
17th
legislative day.
Good. The motion is to defer action on Senate Bill 28 to the 17th legislative day. Is there a second? Those in favor say, are there remarks? Senator Hutmacher.
Madam President, I believe that we would agree with Senator Rounds. We need to defer it for 2 days until we receive our fiscal note back. Thank you.
Good. Further remarks? The motion is to defer Senate Bill 28 to the 17th legislative day. Those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. The bill is deferred.